The Secrets of Stargate is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give.
You're listening to The Secrets of Stargate, episode 148.
General West, Jackson has identified the seventh symbol.
All right, here we go. We are about to try to make a connection.
All we gotta do is bust out of here, commandeer the ship, and fly on home.
Indeed. You say that a lot.
I know that this could be dangerous. But this is our job, right? It's what we signed on to do.
It was never about going home. It's about getting us to where we're going.
Hi, I'm Jack Berezini, and you're listening to The Secret to Stargate, where I talk about the hidden meanings and deeper layers found in the Stargate movies, TV series, and more. And joining me today are Father Corey Stika. Hi, Father.
Howdy, Jack.
And Victor Lambs. Hey, Victor.
Hi, Jack.
Today we are discussing the 20th episode of Season 7, Inauguration. And it's another clip show.
Woo-hoo. Yay!
Henry Hayes has been elected president, and Kinsey is his VP. Kinsey is up to his typical Kinseying and is trying to use his newfound position to get Hammond and SG-1 outed from the Stargate program. Agent Woolsey is back, and while he initially seems to be on Kinsey's side, he comes to see that maybe Kinsey is exactly as slimy as he seems. That's the plot there.
Yep.
Interspersed with a bunch of previously on clips. So what were your thoughts on this episode, Father?
You know, as far as a clip show, flashback show, this is probably one of the better because there is actually a plot underlying it. I mean, it's not just, hey, let's remember what's going on. I mean, this is, you know, there's actual plot. There's political intrigue. I mean, if you're going to bring in political intrigue, this is probably one of the better ways to do it. Mm-hmm. But that being said, it's still a clip show. And it still has the weaknesses of clip shows. And there's a reason why clip shows have kind of faded in the dust. You know, that's something that got left behind in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you know, if you fast forward through the clips, it's actually a pretty decent, you know, kind of political intrigue episode.
Yeah, like a little mini episode. Mm-hmm. What about you, Victor?
Yeah, this is probably the least worst of the clip shows, at least in my recollection. And it is for the reasons that Father Corey said, you know, it does have a good story, some good twists and turns in the framing narrative. And we also get some excellent guest actors. I mean, mm-hmm. we don't see, aside from Hammond, any of the main cast members,
no.
except mm-hmm. in the clips. But who we do get is, you know, we get William Devane as President Hayes, who's excellent and hasn't been on the show before. And then James McDaniel as the Joint Chief of Staff, who kind of is the angel on the president's shoulder and taking mm-hmm. the side of the SGC, is also incredibly effective. And given that they, you know, they filmed this episode in 4 days, they had to, you know, bring these people in. They all had to learn their lines and look like they, you know, knew what they were talking about and knew all the, you know, all the right. technical jargon and stuff too. Everybody is doing a really good job with yeah. what they're given.
And of course we've got Robert Picardo as Woolsey. It being, yep. you know, Robert Picardo at his best, one of his yeah. best.
No, anything he's in is always fun. I'm still waiting for someone to say computer in program, though. Just getting out of their hair. I feel like this would have been something that they could have used as like a B plot on one of the less interesting episodes, but I understand why they would relegate this just to a clip show near the end and basically get yeah. get caught up on what's been going on the season to get ready for the new season. And then you
what
like plot development setting up the finale.
What kind of struck me is if this had been done 10 years later, they would have done this as a web series. This would have been a
possibly,
webisode.
Yeah.
You know, where it would have been something kind of released in the middle of the season. You know, without the clips, but, you know, kind of talking about the different events and talking about what's going on and getting things set up for the Lost City, which, of course, we'll get into in the next couple of episodes. You know, it would have been done more in that kind of setup.
I feel like if this came out in 2004, so I feel like if they'd done it in 2014, this would have been like a season-long arc that would have just been overstretched and the entire thing would have been the political intrigue.
I can kind of see that too. And, you know, the president being assassinated and they have to find who killed him and stuff, which doesn't happen here, but yeah. And so, yeah, as a framing device, it's really cool. It's shot very well. You know, they're in a very small set. They have the Oval Office, they have the hallway outside, and they have Kinsey's office. We do get to see, you know, General Hammond's office later on, mm-hmm. but it's just a very, you know, small set, and they're able to keep it interesting just with the way that they shoot the actors on in the scenes.
And one wise thing they did is they used the X-Men 2 set of the Oval Office. So this wasn't even a set that they had to build. They were able to use a pre-built ready-to-go set. So that was brilliant to do it that way.
I feel like having an Oval Office set is just a good thing to have on hand because you can use that for many different things.
Oh, you know, you totally would be like the president who he walks in. The first thing he does is kicks off his shoes and rubs his socks through the carpeting. You know, you'd do that.
Yeah.
That was a great scene. I love that.
That scene where he does kick off his shoes in the Oval Office, William Devane ad-libbed that. He ad-libbed quite a bit of this episode, actually. There was the scene where they're walking, the very first scene where they're walking down the hall. That was originally envisioned as a, you know, West Wing style walk and talk, like a Aaron Sorkin walk and talk. They only had 30 feet of hall, so they would have to film them, you know, four times, like they're walking down different halls. Right. But William Devane completely went a different way. And the whole looking at the statues of the previous presidents, that was all something that he did. He threw in there himself.
The scenes with him were just great because he did such a good job. I mean, I love that. It's like, this is my first day. Just let me enjoy this being my first day as president. It's like, no, you got to tell this, you know, former president of Togo who got, you know, chased out of the country and you got to go do this, go do that. And he walks in the Oval Office and just like, no, I'm going to kick off my shoes and enjoy it. Just give me a moment. The moment's done, Mr. President.
Yeah.
The moment's over, Mr. President.
that's why it's good when you have like actors who are really professional and really know what they're doing and understand like, okay, this is how we can work with what we have. And William Devane is one of those actors who he gets around, he works a lot, and so he knows like what to look for. So it's cool to see when you get that influence from the guest stars they bring in, and it ends up making it better than it probably would have been.
And make the president look human. That he's not this, because you know, you get these politicians, they come in, they're all professional and, you know, suit and tie and buttoned up and ready, you know, and he's like, no, he's a human being who just wants to enjoy the fact that he's achieved his goal, the highest office in the land, and wants to appreciate it for just a few minutes before actually getting into the work.
It's also funny that they go that direction because his vice president is such a hated character. Like they didn't do the thing where they're both like awful.
And I mean, and he wants to do the right thing too for the Stargate program, but also for the country. And he starts to suspect, you know, where his campaign financing may have come from, you know, basically bringing Woolsey onto the ticket. It helped him get elected, but at what cost? And so that's in addition to kind of, you know, what's figuring out what's going on at the SGC, kind of figuring out like who's pulling the strings in his own government is kind of what's motivating him as well.
Right. Cause he was not aware of any of the Stargate program stuff. And that's something he gets annoyed at Kinsey for, like, you knew all about this and you did not tell me while we were campaigning.
Right.
Which I guess Kinsey probably wasn't able to, but
I don't think it was so much not that he didn't want to, is that he knew this was something that he could slap the president across the face with on his first day and get hoping to get that. He would go, oh, this is so terrible. This is so awful. You don't need to, don't worry about Mr. President looking at all that stuff. I'll take care of it. And of course it blows up in his face because the president ends up leaving the chief of staff of the army and the joint chiefs. Ends up leaving them, and eventually Woolsey, of course, comes around too, and it says, no, this wasn't what my argument was about, it was what Kinsey wanted.
Yeah.
And at the end, we still don't know where this is leading. I mean, the only thing we do know is that Woolsey has, you know, had a moment of conscience and is following his conscience. you know, this can't be good for Woolsey, but if Woolsey does get, you know, pressured or backed into a corner, you know, what might he might do now that the evidence is with the president?
Yep, because he gets that that floppy disk of the incriminating evidence from Hammond, which yeah. I like that Hammond is going in on the blackmail of Kinsey. He kind of deserves it at this point. It's not even blackmail. The president should know that information.
Yeah. Well, I love Hammond's approach on it too, where he's like, you know, Woolsey asks, well, why didn't you show this before? Hammond says, I didn't know who I could trust. And it, you know, throws it down. I didn't know who I could trust. I still don't. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like, I'm giving this to you, but it's not that I trust you.
Yeah. And the evidence comes from the episode Chain Reaction, where Jack and Mayborn are running around Washington, D.C. and logging into computers, and Mayborn's using his hacking skills, and they finally confront Woolsey at his home and get the evidence. And it's a good callback to that episode too. And we finally get to see the payoff from that. And the way Woolsey figures out that General Hammond has some evidence is basically calling back to the other episode where Hammond was, I think that was Chain Reaction, where he was kicked out of the SGC and blackmailed and had to be brought back in. So I think that was very nice.
It does show the age of this series, where what he's got in that manila folder is a floppy disk, you know, 1.44 meg floppy disk, not a USB key, not a CD-ROM, a floppy disk.
Apparently, I saw this in Japan, like, you're required to submit, I think, your like college thesis in addition to like a hard copy, also on a 1.44 megabyte floppy disk. And they just recently changed that rule because it's getting harder and harder to get those.
That's funny.
And the drives too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, I suppose that's a good way to make sure people keep their thesis numbers down. If you try to submit a 1.5 meg Word document, it won't work.
That's true. Yeah.
You get too eloquent in your words and you fill up your floppy disk. Well, that's a good reason that you need to start cutting down your thesis.
Yeah. Your word count is whatever you can get on this floppy disk.
Yeah.
I like the way too, that Robert Picardo took the disk out of the manila envelope, you know, and threw the manila envelope down and put the disk in his pocket too. I thought that was just a nice flourish there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get to show it and show that it's the same disk. It's the same blue floppy disk.
Yeah. I mean, it's got that little slip covering, so it should be okay. Yeah, it's, I feel like Stargate has always kind of shied away from doing too much political intrigue, which I appreciate, because I feel like the X-Files later on the show gets too caught up in that and kind of gets away from the core of what the show was, like, you know, exploring weird phenomenon, aliens and stuff, and turns almost into like a political thriller. So I'm glad that Stargate has not gone that direction too much, but it's nice to see a little bit of it.
Yeah. They still keep kind of a flavoring of it going forward through SG-1 Atlantis, but it's not the primary focus. This isn't, you know, that's one thing Battlestar Galactica kind of did too, is they had a lot of political type intrigue throughout it. But they did it in a good way. I mean, again, it wasn't like the central focus, but it was kind of a smattering through it. This, you know, it's Stargate, I mean, Universe, I don't even know what they were doing there. But Atlantis and SG-1, there was the politics, and every once in a while you hear from the, you know, International Commission and things like that. But it's not like a serious focus of the series. Mm-hmm. This isn't the West Wing in space.
That's kind of what Battlestar Galactica became.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was going to say Universe was just trying to be Battlestar Galactica. So it's, how long does that chain get?
Trying to out Battlestar Galactica, Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to say that fast.
Yeah, it's fun knowing that Woolsey is going to continue on in Atlantis, seeing his beginning here, because he's very prickly and likably unlikable so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he kind of tempers a little bit throughout Atlantis. You know, he's still got a little bit of that, you know, pencil pusher attitude, but
He plays that well.
Yeah. And this episode does set up kind of, you know, the next step, which is Lost City, and then, you know, moving into Atlantis, you know, within just a few episodes here for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And just so everyone knows, the way we're going to be doing that is we're going to be alternating. Once yep. Atlantis starts, we'll be doing an episode of SG-1 and then an episode of Atlantis. So kind of like how Doctor Who and Star Trek do, where you mm-hmm. alternate between the series. So,
yep, exactly.
And then I guess when we get to Universe, it's going to be...
That'll be just years just from now. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we get to Universe, I guess.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know, Victor, you said you'd watch the commentary. Was there any interesting tidbits on there?
Yeah, just the appreciation. It was with director Peter West, who is usually a director of photography or, you know, a cinematographer on the show, but has directed some episodes. And, you know, he was recognizing that the material would be kind of, you know, dry. So he did try to set up the shots, you know, with a lot of both actors kind of in the same scene, even though that's harder to match together when you're editing from a continuity perspective. It isn't more interesting to watch. The other Michael Greenberg was the other person doing the commentary, and he's kind of the hands-on producer. Yeah, he's, you know, co-produced the show since the beginning with Richard Dean Anderson, but is responsible for a lot more of the, you know, things that are happening day to day and on set. And so that was interesting as well. Got some of the stories about, you know, William Devane's ad-libbing. You know, he you know, when they had the folders filled with the mission reports from SG-1, they were originally just blank sheets of paper. And William Devane said, no, if I'm going to be interacting with these, I want these to actually relate to what we're talking about in the scene. So that's why you see that they're all printed out and have like logos on all the pieces of paper and stuff. It just makes it more credible that way. They also talked about how, you know, as they move to Stargate Atlantis, they make the shift from shooting on 16 millimeter film, as they've been doing all through SG-1, and they're going to start shooting on HD video with Atlantis. So we'll keep an eye open for that and see if we notice any difference there. But yeah, it was funny again. They showed the you know, the intro, the credit sequence at the beginning, and then they have the Abydos pyramid blowing up, and it's just funny that Michael Greenberg as the producer is you know, just saying like, yeah, that shot cost us $150,000, you know, still kind of mulling that over that one visual effects shot. Yeah, that one visual effects shot. So yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Wonder if he got a slap on the wrist for spending that much on that one shot. Maybe it's a sore point for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was pretty interesting. You know, they did, when they brought the clips in, for example, the clip from Disclosure, you know, they were watching that, and when Thor puts up his finger, they didn't know what the significance of that was, because when they recut the clip for this episode, they cut out the part where he raises his finger and says, "Supreme Commander Thor," you know, they have a different line of dialogue running over that part. So it's just interesting that even the clips have been kind of re-edited and manipulated in some way. But
I suppose they had to make them fit the time that they had, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And convey what they needed to convey.
One of those lost things you don't have anymore with modern television is clip shows, because you can just look up everything online. And I feel like pretty much every show has like a previously on segment now. Yep.
So. Well, since now that series are going for, you know, 6, 8, 10 episodes instead of, you know, 20, 22, 24, like they were back then, they don't have any episode space to put a clip show in like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this one made sense for this, because they are moving to a new series. And at the time, we're thinking that this was the sunsetting of SG-1. So this is a good way to kind of wrap up SG-1 up to this point and then finish it up. And then move to Atlantis, and oh wait, we've got, it ends up 3 more seasons after this of SG-1, but they didn't know at the time.
Yeah, and it's definitely felt like this season would have been good as a final season of SG-1. maybe a few changes with Anubis and stuff. I don't know if they're going to, if he's going to move into Atlantis or anything, but
nope, he's not going to survive. Mm. Spoiler.
Nope.
He's not going to survive.
Oh, well, there we go.
So
I also did,
but we'll have a couple episodes coming up to talk about that. So
yes, definitely. I also did see that apparently the scotch that the president is drinking in the Oval Office was actually just iced tea. So
makes sense.
Good on it.
Yeah. And on the commentary, they did mention that General Jumper, who I think was the Air Force chief at the time, or was he the
Air Force chief of staff at the time.
Yeah, he had told them that, you know, they haven't actually had any alcohol in the Oval Office since like the 30s or the 40s, he said, or even maybe even going back further. So I don't know if that's true, but that's what, you know, they said that General Jumper said. So
I would have a hard time believing that, like, that was before John F. Kennedy was president. Yeah. So
well, it was the 30s. That's back to, like, you know, FDR. Nixon.
Or Prohibition or something. Yeah, I can't recall exactly the time period, but
That would be
don't
funny
expect to get scotch.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of funny to think of if it was actually in there in the 30s, because that would have been in Prohibition, but yet the president had his own medicinal bottle.
Yeah, maybe it was they stopped it with Prohibition or something. Yeah. But
it's funny to think of that. Yeah. But.
Interesting. Awesome. Do we have any alternate language titles for this episode, Victor?
Yeah, so inauguration, you know, is pretty specific to, you know, English and American English with the way we inaugurate our presidents here. So some of the languages were a little different. In French, we got lutte de pouvoir, or power struggle. Sorry about my pronunciation there. And in Spanish, we got toma de posesión, or taking possession. So they're trying to take possession of the Stargate, or taking possession of the new office. And in German, we got der neue Präsident, or the new president. So
I gotta love the Germans in there. Yeah. Just get straight to the point.
Yeah, that's not too much different than inauguration. So that one works.
Yeah,
true. Awesome. Did y'all have any other thoughts on this episode?
Nope.
Yeah, it was. Here. If you want to get caught up on what's going on, it's a good one to watch. But in this day and age of YouTube, it's hard to sit through a whole clip show. I'll say,
yeah,
but definitely worth it for the frame story is definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so, absolutely.
And try sitting through it twice, once to watch it, once to watch it with the commentary.
Oh, oh boy,
it's not so bad.
Your legs in sacrifice, there, Victor.
Yeah.
You can't just pan the like commentary to one side and the audio to the other.
No, I'll have to see if there's some way of doing that on the DVDs.
I don't
know if my brain could do that though, handling two inputs at once. Yeah. It's hard enough with one sometimes. Awesome. Before we go, we'd like to take a moment to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create the Secrets of Stargate, including Marshall B., Catherine O., Dogwood Tales, Rhea B., and Daryl F. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue the Secrets of Stargate and all the shows at StarQuest. And you can join them by visiting sqpn.com/give. And be sure to follow the show on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and you can find our video versions at youtube.com/StarQuestMedia. And to find previous episodes of Secret to Stargate and to send us feedback, please visit sqpn.com/Stargate. And you can email us at stargate@sqpn.com or follow StarQuest on social media at facebook.com/StarQuestMedia or on Twitter, or X if you prefer, at SQPN. And be sure to check out our Discord at sqpn.com/Discord. And we'll be back next time with the next episode of SG-1, Lost City, Parts 1 and 2. I'm assuming by the end of that episode, it will be Found City. Until then, Father Corey, thank you for joining me in sharing the secrets of Stargate.
Thank you, Jack.
And Victor Lambs, thank you too.
Thanks, Jack. And guys, let me enjoy the moment.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Yeah, we're trying.
And once again, I'm Jack Berezini. Thank you for listening to The Secret to Stargate on StarQuest.
Anyway, I'm sorry, but that just happens to be how I feel about it. What do you think?
Here's another show on the StarQuest Network you're sure to enjoy. The Secrets of Star Wars. Find it wherever fine podcasts are found or at sqpn.com/StarWars.